Well, beloved, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's rejoice in the full forgiveness of our sins, our reconciliation with God because of His gracious gift to us. And let's hear His word this morning that we might respond in faithful obedience to Him. And we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 13. Last week, Pastor David had a short sermon in terms of text. His sermon covered only three words of text. Love is patient. I beat him. We're going to do two today. And kind. All right? And kind. Of course, and meaning love is also kind in addition to being patient. Love is kind. You know, it's interesting. We just returned, Pastor David and my family, we just returned from Grand Rapids. We participated in the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches National Conference. The theme was Truth Matters, and if you know anything about the GARBC, that would not come as a shocking surprise to you that the theme would be on truth. And yet, each and every speaker emphasized the fact that what good is this truth if it's not accompanied with God's love? And I thought, you dirty dogs, you know what we're preaching all summer. Every single message was just a re-emphasis that we have to grow in the ability to speak the truth and accompany it, adorn it with God's own love for people in the way that we bring it to them and live among them. And that includes life in the church. We need to grow and mature in our ability to love one another, not the way the world uses the word love, but to grow in Christ-like biblical love, which is true love anyways. Everything else is just a cheap copy, usually an opposite, a negative of what God calls a positive. And so we see here the quality of love. If this were the love diamond, we're going to twirl it just a little bit and get a light refracting off of a new facet that's cut into it. And that facet today is the kindness of God's love. We're going to define it. We're going to see how God displays kindness toward us. And then we're going to think about and consider, and eventually at our family life groups, discuss how we can kindly engage those that God has placed in our life with His kind love. Love is kind. But what does God mean by that? Well, there's three aspects to kindness that we need to understand, biblical kindness. Because when we think of the word kind, all kinds of words might flow into our thoughts. All kinds of concepts might flow into our thoughts of what it is or isn't. And I think there's three facets here. There are other words, maybe depending on your English translation, that you may have. You may have goodness, fitting, virtuous. You may have those kinds of words, but kind is the one that we're thinking of. And the first thing to understand about kindness, biblical kindness, is that it's not a feeling, it's an action. And it's an act. It doesn't mean that there's no feelings that are attended to it. If it's done fully, then there is emotion attached to it, but it's not based on feeling or emotion. Kindness is an action. It's far more than being passive. When you hear the word kind, if you're like me, before you study this biblically, you might think of kindness as something we don't do, as if it's a passive quality, right? Oh, she's a kind coach. You'll like playing for her. She doesn't yell. She doesn't. Something she doesn't do makes her kind. Oh, he's a kind doctor. My pediatrician was Dieter Hoffman, and he gave you shots just like you pronounce his name. Wham! 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 Right? Oh, no, no, you want this doctor. He's a kind doctor. He won't look down on you or get upset with you. He won't. He doesn't. Well, he's a kind officer. He won't write you a ticket. He's a kind pastor. He won't say anything to make you feel bad. The word kind is often thought of as a passive quality, as if you're kind when you don't do something. But actually, biblical kindness is an action. It is active. It is something that you positively do. So when God is kind to us, it's something that He's carrying out for us. It's an action that He's performing. Now, He is also long-suffering, so He doesn't squash us the instant we sin. He is patient, which is often what we don't give into. But kindness is an action. And It's an intentional action. It is acted out intentionally. It is done with purpose. It is done on purpose. It is first degree gracing, premeditative gracing on people's lives. You want to do something that's good for them, and you are intentionally thinking about it. Now, sure, we have many opportunities on any given day in which something that we didn't plan happens, or someone comes into our sphere of influence, and we weren't planning on this, but an opportunity presents itself to show God's kindness, and that very much is kindness. But again, the full flower, the full maturity, the perfectly cooked version of kindness is when we intentionally set out to do someone good. We don't accidentally accomplish something good. We purposefully think about it, plan for it, arrange for it, and deliver. That's God's kindness. God wasn't accidentally just reacting to everything we were doing on earth and was like, oh no, I guess I better come up with a salvation plan. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that he planned these things before he ever said, let there be light. So his kindness toward us was planned, meditated. It was first degree, not second degree, where I just got caught up in the moment and there you go. He planned and premeditated and intentionally, that's the word I'm using, intentionally set out to bless us with the act of kindness. It's when it's most mature. But sure, there are unplanned moments. The storm that blew through a couple weeks ago damaged my yard. Thankfully, the yard, not the house. A tree had fallen down. And each day, without prompting, somebody from the church was like, hey, I can help. And they did. Now, they didn't plan on a tree falling in the yard any more than I did. But they stepped up in kindness. The Good Samaritan didn't wake up that day thinking, I can't wait to find somebody who's been robbed. But the opportunity presented itself, didn't it? And the connection was made and the action was carried out. So it's both and, not either or. I just want us to embrace the fact that kindness, when it's most Christ-like, is intentional, planned. You set out to do it. You don't just wait for it to happen. You ask God for the opportunity and the privilege to go and to show his kindness. And here's what it's doing. When kindness is acted out intentionally, the goal is to add value to the person or for the person. You are carrying out something that's going to bless them, to be good for them. You want to highlight that they're valuable to God, and therefore you're doing something valuable for them. Because the kindness that we're talking about here is not my kindness. Oh, Adam's a kind guy. He won't yell at you, right? Well, no, it's God's kindness I'm trying to show. Through me, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it. And it's God's kindness you want to show as the Spirit works through you. And God's kindness always highlights the value that we have before him, and it adds good to our life. It adds value to our lives. It's a difference between a kindness that is passive and just doesn't get mad versus a kindness that comes from God, is premeditated and plans to do good to somebody and carries it out. What a blessing when you've received one of those, right? You could probably think in your own mind of when somebody did something that you didn't see it coming, but they've been loving to plan for it for a while. And they plan and they go for it. It's the only time, husbands, when you're allowed to lie to your wives. Because you're planning to bless them, but you can't tell them what you're up to until you drop the plot, right, on them and you bless them. That's the only time when you're carrying out kindness. Intentional acts. That add value to or for someone. You're bringing value, God's value, to their life. The good news is there's so many ways in which this can be expressed, which may actually be hard news because some of us just want simple, give me one or two things and I'm good to go. The menu's too large, right? But you can show God's kindness at any age, in any stage of your spiritual maturity, and you can do it in many ways. You can do it individually. We can do it together. We can do it in partnership with other churches and with other missionaries. But kindness, biblically defined, is an intentional act that adds value to or for someone. So think of those words, intentional, action, and for that person's benefit, for their good. And if you can keep that in mind, watch now how God applies his kindness toward people. All kinds of people. We want to stop and look. We want to behold God's kindness in many different ways. Now, I'm going to lay out several, you're going to see on the screen several quick references to Scripture. You may benefit by not trying to write the Scripture down, but writing the reference, because we're going to be moving a bit fast. The current on this one is speedy. But the first thing we want to understand about God's kindness toward us is that it is built upon His character. It comes from His character. It's who He is. It's also what He does. So my grandmother, on my mom's side, my grandmother, when she would pray, would often pray, "Kind Father." That's how she talked to God. I'll never forget the way that she would, she even said it in a particular way, but she called God "Kind Father" as she would pray, and she meant it. She knew who she was talking to. "You're the one who cares for me, and you have intentionally set out to carry out acts that add value or are valuable for me. And so I pray to you, Father. I bring these things before you." But the Scriptures say this, Psalm 25, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in the way." So this word "good," when it was translated into the Greek, this was originally written in Hebrew, but when they wrote the Septuagint, which was the first Greek version of the Old Testament, they used the word for kindness here. They used this word. And so the English translated it to "good." Kind and upright is the Lord. It's who He is. It's His character. We'll come back to that second phrase, "therefore He instructs sinners in the way," in just a little bit. We might have heard, I know Pastor Dave preached on it, Psalm 34. Sorry, that's a typo on my part. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Oh, taste and see that the Lord is intentionally acting to add value to our lives. He is kind. And blessed is the one that rests on that, that takes refuge in His kindness. It's who He is. "For the Lord is good." We had that read to us, Psalm 100. We actually sang in response to it. "For the Lord is good. He's kind. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations." Psalm 119:68 says it best. He's talking to God. "You are good and you do good." You are kind. It's your character. And because it's your character, what you do is also kind. You act in your kindness. It's who He is, beloved. There is no value to life apart from a relationship with God. There's not. Some people, it takes them 80 years to figure it out, but Ecclesiastes tells you, if you're apart from God, there's only one way it ends: emptiness. But because God exists and because God is good, the fight of faith, Hebrews 11, because God is and He rewards those who diligently seek Him, we rest in the fact that God is kind and my life now has value and the lives of those around me have value because God is and is kind. You are good, Father, and you do good. Whatever you do, it is for our good. He supremely understands what is best for all of us. So when we feel like we're getting an unkind cut from God, when He's removing something from our lives that we think is valuable, and we think, no, it's better for me to have that, or if He never allows you to have what you think you should have, or trials come and you're treated unjustly, we can rest in the fact that He is doing something kind. I can't see it. I need His eyes to see and understand this situation. And even if He doesn't give that to me, I'll rest in the fact that you are good, God, and you do good. You are kind and you do kind. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit because it's part of His character, right? God the Holy Spirit is God, and His character is kind. And in Galatians 5, we learn the cluster of fruit that God has, the Holy Spirit produces in our lives that matches the character of God, and one of those is kindness. Love, joy, peace, patience. The next in line is kindness. So again, I'm not teaching you or preaching to you a moralistic sermon saying, kindness is good, go be kind. I'm saying, God is kind. I want you to see how God's kindness has been expressed to you. Now let us, in gratitude for that kindness being given to us, produce works from faith that reflect what He's done to us in Jesus Christ. May what we do reflect His kindness to the world. It's part of His character. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're growing in biblical kindness, It's evidence that the Holy Spirit is maturing you. He's at work in your life. And God displays kindness towards different types of people in Scripture. When you revisit this word, the first thing you're going to see is the wicked sinners receive God's kindness. Now, wicked sinner is kind of it's not an oxymoron, it's a redundancy. Wicked, yeah, that's what a sinner is. But I'm going to separate and try to create a distinction here in just a minute, in that the wicked sinner represents what the Proverbs would call a scoffer, a person who not only rebels against God, but is glad to do it, is happy to rebel against God, has no interest in ever repenting of sin or being taught by God. He is the fool, Psalm says, who says in his heart, there is no God. Right? And so the wicked sinner is somebody who has no interest in being grateful to God, ear is not attentive to God, and they're not going to turn to God. And Jesus, in teaching us about being kind, says, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. That God, as we do declare warning to the world that God's kindness and God's patience has a due date on it, that there is a day of the Lord in which the wrath of God will fall, that there is a day appointed where people will be judged and the effects of that are eternal, that you cannot live against God and not suffer eternal consequences for it. That is all true, and before that day comes, God is expressing his kindness even to those who will never turn to him. Because it's the only good that they'll ever get in their life. And when that day of judgment comes, they will have no excuse for rebelling against him. You hear a lot of people say things like, God hasn't given me enough evidence to believe in him. Or if God is good, why does he allow? And they run through a litany of things and they blame God for it. The reality is they've never actually thanked him for the breath that they used to curse him, or the body that functions right with which they complain about the bodies that don't function right, or the fact that they have taste buds or eyeballs, or they're not incinerated by being too close to the sun, or that their crops receive the same rain. God's kindness in this era before that day of judgment is extended in what we call common grace, even to the ungrateful and the evil. And so we, as Christ-like people, are to extend God's kindness even to those who would call themselves our enemies. We're not to wage the spiritual warfare with other weapons. We wage with God's kindness. And we recognize that that may just be the only good that they'll ever receive in all of eternity. Or as Jonathan Edwards said, and I will paraphrase in the modern version, for the Christian, earth, this life, is all the hell we will ever experience. But for the heathen, the one who will not turn to Christ, earth is the only heaven they will experience. And I'm sorry, but I don't want this to be heaven. I'm sure you don't either. But yet, any good we receive is still God's intentional act to pour kindness on people so that they will turn, and if not, they'll have no excuse for what comes. But there are sinners who will turn. And God displays his kindness toward them. To those who will turn to him, he has been putting kindness into their life from the very beginning and will continue to do so. Romans 2, in context, this statement is actually a question, but it's a rhetorical question. So it is a statement given in the form of a question. And he's giving it to the Jews who don't get it yet. They think they're right with God because of all that they've done. And not because they're trusting in Christ, the gift of God for eternal life, for their sins, which they've surely committed, just like the rest of the world. And he says, haven't you figured out yet? Paul says, haven't you figured out yet that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? That when he sends rain on your crops, it's meant for you to appreciate your Creator and maybe get to know him and reach out to him. That when you gasp in awe, not at the fireworks, but at the Milky Way, which expands behind and beyond those fireworks. And the heavens tell that glory of the Lord, and you have eyes to see it. God means for that to cause questions in your heart, to say, somebody made this. I want to know that somebody. God's kindness in bringing a messenger of truth to you in whatever form that was, a preacher, a parent, a Bible, a tract, a website, radio, whatever form that the truth was brought to you was God's kindness to you to deliver truth to you so that you would indeed confess your sins before God and ask him to give you a new life that you can live for Christ. God's kindness is not just an end to itself. It is a means to get us to repent. Again, good and upright, that word good, kind and upright is the Lord. Therefore, what does he do with his kindness? He instructs who? Sinners. How? He shows them the way to life. You and I would never have sought Jesus Christ, and we never would have found him if his Spirit didn't awaken on our hearts a need for him and his word was not preached to us. God's kindness in just those two ways, what were they meant to do? Lead us to repentance. His long suffering is meant to give us time to repent. He means to lead the convicted sinner, the one who realizes, I do answer to God. He wants his kindness to show them where they can find hope and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. He says this to the church in Titus, Paul, or not Titus, but in Crete, in the book of Titus, Titus chapter 3. He says, we ourselves, he's talking to believers in Jesus, we were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Boy, you could reread that description and then just look around, right? It's not hard to find evidence of all of that going on all around us. But when what? When the goodness, when the kindness, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. He didn't wait for us to figure it out. He caught us and pursued us when we were in that prior condition. Foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to our passions, being hated and hating others. God's kindness is meant to lead sinners to forgiveness. So if he convicts your heart of sin, confess it. That's why he's convicting you, that you may release it to him and be forgiven. God's discipline as a heavenly father is even an act of kindness towards convicted sinners. As a father loves his child and sometimes has to kindly discipline them, it's evidence that I love you and want to add value for your life so you don't destroy it. It's all God's kindness to lead us to repentance. And when we have repented and trusted in Jesus Christ and we find salvation in him and we are now not called sinners but saints, we are no longer slaves to sin but sons of God in the adopted sense, how does he display kindness to us? Oh, he does it all the time and he's going to keep doing it. Psalm 31 says, oh, how abundant is your kindness which you have stored up for who? Those who fear you. Notice it is abundant, and notice that just as he has premeditatively poured kindness on you, he is storing up kindness for you in the days to come. And it's abundant. Or one of my favorite verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, that says, the reason that he's poured his rich mercy out on us is so that in the coming ages, we don't just see God's kindness now for his people. He's storing it up for later. In the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in the form of kindness, intentional acts that will add value to and for your life. He might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in the form of kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God's just getting started, beloved. He's just getting started. In eternity, he will show off his premeditated kindness toward you. And I don't know if we'll go to bed and wake up, but sanctified imagination for a second, stepping aside from the pulpit. If we go to bed and wake up, what will we find? More kindness. More kindness. And more kindness. And you will never go, is that it? Because we cannot measure the kindness he has in store for us. The Bible simply says it's abundant. It's abundant, it's immeasurable, and God fully intends to show all of it off to you and I. He's just not going to do it right now where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, and where our own sin sabotages. He's not going to do that. It's too good. He's going to redeem us like he has in Christ Jesus. He's going to resurrect us like Christ Jesus with a sinless body. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth where we can live forever sinlessly. And when we receive these kindnesses, we won't abuse them either. We will give proper thanksgiving to God. We will worship him for it. And we will share it with one another. We'll grow in kindness just as he increasingly shows it off. So God's display of kindness is to people who hate him, people who know they've sinned against him but don't know what to do, and people who have repented of their sins and trusted in Christ. His kindness is just getting started. So, beloved, if you're in here this morning and you feel like your life's falling apart and God feels far away, and you think, I have prayed and he hasn't given me relief, will you ask him for the faith to trust him? That what you're experiencing is not a lack of God's kindness, nor has it cut into and stolen from your account of kindness. Some of you have had your retirement accounts because of the stock market cut into this year. No such thing can happen to God's immeasurable riches of his grace. In the form of kindness, and only through those who trust Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah of God. That's the nature of our relationship now from God. So how do we display it in our lives? If God intentionally acts in ways that add value, that promote value to and for our lives, if he's planning the best, which is yet to come, for us, how do we then, as Christ-like people, being shaped by the Holy Spirit, how do we display God's kindness to others? Because I don't know about you, I'm limited. Are you limited? It's kind of hard to match God's kindness, but I get to display some of it. And so do you, and so do we. How do we do that? Well, let's just stick with the end. The first thing that displaying God's kindness should be from our lives is that we display God's kindness by receiving it, by repenting of our sin, because we know God will forgive. Pastor David brought up the example of Jonah last week. It's kind of an ironic, comical moment. You have Jonah in the end. He went to Nineveh like he didn't want to do. He told these people who were the enemies of God, he thought they were wicked sinners. Turns out they were convicted sinners, right? And he preached the message that was given to him, and they repented. And in chapter 4, he's like, I knew you'd do that. Can't stand you, God. You know that you're abounding in forgiveness. And I knew that if I told them that they could turn to you, they would, and you would forgive them. He wanted to keep them from having access to the same kindness God formed and gave his life, especially when he's in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Right? They displayed God's kindness by receiving it and repenting of their sins. That's the first display. The Lord, Psalm 14 says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, if there are any who seek after God. And this is what he finds, that they have all turned aside. Together, they've become corrupt. We use often the phrase, we're stronger together, we're better together. But humanity without God, when we put our efforts together, we just build corruption. There is none who does kindness, is what that phrase says. There is none who do God's kindness on their own. Not you, not me, not even one. We cannot display what we have not been given. We cannot share what we have not been given. And if we're still in our sins, we've not been transformed by his kind spirit. So the first display of God's kindness is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins to him, and say, you are God the Son, my Savior. Give me life in your power and name. And when you repent of your sin, you are actually displaying that God's kindness has an effect on you and has an offering of effect to others, if they'll repent of their sins. So I ask you, have you been led to repentance yet? Believer in Jesus Christ, you have repented of your sins. You have turned to Jesus Christ, but we continue to sin, don't we? We don't have to, but we do. And when we do, we go back to first things, and we display God's kindness when we repent of our sins. We show that God is kind and forgiving, and we show that we've been affected by it. And others can be affected by it if they will turn to him. God's kindness should also lead us to rely on him. As we saw in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, God intends to show off his grace for all of eternity through intentional acts of kindness toward us. And so when we go through experiences where it feels hopeless or we're struggling to find a reason to give God thanks, you ever been a kid, you were kind of forced to do something or somebody gave you something and then your parent or grandparent said, say thank you, and you're like, thank you. You ever done that? All right, I've done that. I've got some parents in the room looking at their kids right now. We've all done that. Well, when we go through experiences in our lives that are, they feel hopeless, they're painful, we are tempted to just grit our teeth and go, I know you're good. I know you're good. I know you're kind. But what God wants that trial in your life to do is he wants to soften you and he wants to tear down your seeking of controlling your own life and living on your own strength and learning to rely upon the fact that, God, I don't see the good in this, but I do have your word that you are good and that you do good and that you work out all things for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. I don't know what your purpose is, but I know you. I know you. And beloved, we've got to grow up. We've got to get to the point in our lives spiritually where we recognize God's not going to give us all the answers to why we go through what we do. But what God does through those hard times is he draws us toward him that we might lean upon him, and he has the answers. He's not giving you the answers. He's giving you his grace. He's giving you his all-sufficient grace because he knows what he's doing. And so we display God's kindness to our families and to our church and to others when we learn to rely on the fact that I hurt with what God has just done or allowed to happen in my life, and yet I'm going to trust that this will result in greater worship. And it's for my good. And so I yield to God. By the way, when you yield to God like that, that's when he gives you his peace to endure. He really does. Some of you need to just rely on him today and acknowledge that the hardship you're facing, even though you don't understand it or can't comprehend it, God, I want to recognize that this is an act of your kindness. It's still playing itself out. Give me grace to endure. Give me peace to guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus, that I might love him more, not less. And as you do that, what you don't realize is that when you're leaning on his kindness, you're teaching all the rest of us that God is good. Finally, displaying God's kindness leads us to repent of our sin, to rely upon him when it doesn't make total sense circumstantially, and to reveal moments of kindness, moments of premeditated actions that add value to the people around us. And we, just like God does it to his enemies, we should do it to our enemies too. Now, I don't mean to say you should be growing enemies. But if we love Jesus Christ and we try to live at peace with all people in as much as it's in our power to do, we know that Satan's going to mess some stuff up and he's going to bring enemies to us and they're going to be enemies of the cross. It's going to happen. So when it happens, we can show them kindness instead of vengeance. We can return good for evil instead of evil for evil. And I'm not saying, just like Pastor David said last week, I'm not saying that if somebody commits a crime against you that you're not allowed to enforce the law on that crime, that you're actually doing them a kindness by calling the police so that the police can arrest that person and keep them from growing in their sin towards you and others. So it's a kindness in that sense. But we are to deal in ways that are intentionally for the benefit of the person, even the one who hates us. And maybe you have those enemies. Maybe you do, I don't know. But if you do, they're not exempt from us showing God's goodness to them. And God will give you the strength. God will. God's love to our neighbors. Is it not true that all the law hangs essentially upon the hooks of love God with all that we are and love our neighbor as ourselves? Two things we can't do without God's strength, but because we have God's strength, we can. And we are to love our neighbors. So this week, Not sometime before you die, not sometime in the future unnamed, but this week I want to exhort you and encourage you to consider a way in which you can intentionally act toward a neighbor, somebody who lives near you, that you know that your action would bless them. Now, you have to kind of know them to know what will bless them sometimes, but act out. Do a good for them so that you may be able to express the why you do the good for them. I want to give you an illustration from our own sister in the Lord who is now enjoying the full kindness of God, and that's Hilda Lorenzo. If you knew Hilda, you knew a couple things about her. Number one, she was tough. She was not physically framed that way, but man, was she made of spiritual metal, all right? She was tough. And she loved to sing. She loved to sing. She sang until she couldn't walk down those steps anymore. And she loved the kids in her neighborhood. If you talk with her any length of time, she'd start talking about her kids. And you'd be thinking, well, how many do you have? And then you'd realize she's talking about the kids in her neighborhood. And she would always open their yard and open their home and open their porch so that kids would have a safe place to come and play. And she would give them popsicles. I never knew about that. I was like, I live close enough, right? You know? But she'd give popsicles to kids on a hot summer day, and she'd give them a warm place on a cold winter day. And she viewed the children in her neighborhood as her mission field, and she wanted to always be a presence of kindness in their lives. It doesn't take million-dollar ideas. It takes intentionality to do something that's to benefit somebody and then to repeat that process. We can do this, beloved, toward our neighbors. And we do it and should do it and express it in our families. Our nuclear family, meaning those who share the household with you. Certainly, maybe your parents don't live with you or your siblings don't live with you anymore, and they are your family. But I'm thinking some of us are in situations where we may have a dorm, or we may be staying in an apartment with others that we share that aren't biological family, and they're right there and they're in the everyday life. Share with them God's kindness. Target somebody this week and plan to show them a kindness of God. Do something that you know would show value to them in the Lord. And then the eternal family, the family of God, the church of Jesus Christ, Shawnee Hills Baptist Church, when we gather, how many of us gather coming in praying, oh Lord, give me an opportunity to do something good for somebody today? Some of us are just like, let's get this conflict settled before we have to walk inside, or, you know, let's just get there, and we've already got the rest of the day in our minds, and you know, life's just moving like this. Let us be intentional as our Father is intentional. Let us be active as our Father is active, so we come armed with words of encouragement. Let me tell you about a word of encouragement, and I almost guarantee, I don't want to say for sure because I don't know, but I almost guarantee he has long forgotten or probably didn't even know that. I'm sure he was intentional, but I don't think he knew how much that word held on to my heart. That happens, by the way. First day I ever served here, 12 years ago, I went to Subway for lunch in Jamestown, and Wayne Bays comes in with some of his buddies, and you know, you didn't pay for my sandwich, but I didn't need that. You just said, how's your first day? And I said, well, I'm halfway through it. I think I'm all right. He goes, you just stick with this stuff. You'll be good. Kindness. I'm trying. Stick with the stuff. A word of encouragement can change the trajectory of a person's life. Words of encouragement, every one of us can offer those. Opening doors for those who need help. Speaking the truth in love. Sometimes kindness has to confront, doesn't it? Praying for and praying with one another. Extending forgiveness, using our spiritual gifts properly. So many ways to display that God has value to you and wants to show his goodness to you, and I get to be a vessel to prove it to you. Beloved, we sin every day, don't we? I don't know about you, But I sin every day. I'm not proud of that. I hope not to do that, but I recognize that. We sin every day. So it's all the more reason why we need to experience the kindness of God every day. Isn't it? Don't you want to go to bed realizing that God has expressed his kindness to you and all the sins that you've committed so that you can repent and rely and then reveal to others that God is that good to them too? We need to experience the kindness of God every day, and we get to be agents of his kindness to one another every day. I believe that if churches would express God's love in truth, we would have something to give to lost souls. If we just regurgitate our programming to keep it alive for the sake of itself, we've missed it. But if we will mature in God's kindness and replicate that, who knows how God will use his kindness to lead others to repentance and join in the chorus of praise and thanksgiving to see that God's kindness is so large that it's not fit for just the Jews. He needs every nation to have people with him so he can show off the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness through Jesus Christ in the ages to come. So, beloved, be kind as God is kind. Let's ask for his help. Heavenly Father, we could feast if we just meditated for a while and just stopped and thought and read your word to look for evidence of how you've been kind to us on a daily basis, how you've been kind to us through the ages, how your kindness is extended to us through your people. We are being called in 1 Corinthians 13 to reflect your kindness to one another as we live and worship and make disciples. And we can't do that on our own because there is no one who is good apart from you. So we want to reflect your kindness, that it has landed in our own hearts, that we're willing to repent of our own sins, that it's working on our hearts. We're learning to rely on you even when the circumstances don't show an appearance of kindness. And that we are revealing you. We've been touched by you. We've been changed by you as we extend kindness to others in so many forms. Would you grant us the grace of maturing in this? Would you grant each father here a growing Christ-like kindness? Would you grant each mother here a growing Christ-like kindness? Would you grant each believer in this room a growing Christ-like kindness? And if we're not, would you lead us to repentance? I have no idea what it's going to look like to receive your immeasurable riches of kindness. But I want to be there, and I look forward to being there, Father. And we're one Lord's day closer. So help us to mature for the glory of Jesus Christ and the good of his people. Amen.